Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, deadites, friends till the end, and space jockeys. It's your boy, Michael No Tangents Rothman, and I'm keeping it no nonsense right now because you're about to hear a clip from our latest installment of The Rental, which sees your Halloweenies checking into Danvers State Hospital to sort through all the asbestos and Josh Lucas within Brad Anderson's 2001 psychological horror film Session 9. So, how do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You could find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare.
It was very, very, very rare, I feel, back then for like a straight-to-video horror film to like live up to its chops and like actually deliver on a and I felt like this absolutely was one of those movies where we were like, whoa, like this, you know, I don't know. I don't want to blow it out of proportion, but it did back then. It was not, you know, I feel like you can get a movie like this a dime a dozen these days. But back then, a lot of movies weren't doing this kind of slow burn, more psychological thing, And it was like this sense of dread and the build is what makes the movie. And I think we were on the precipice of like, you know, really getting into film, really going that extra. And I was like looking at possibly pursuing film. So I was really impressed with what they were able to do with the film with like one location, essentially, well, maybe two. And like, you know, just like an interesting, scary story. And I really caught my attention, and I've only gone back to it a few times, but I kind of like that because I think it's really effective every time.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that for a second because there is something that I did get in a wave of nostalgia of revisiting it again. And this is a great hang movie. I usually put this on during the afternoon, during like October, but when you know I open up the window, let the breeze come in, and just kind of let it play. Afternoon horror, if you want to call it that, but there's something really cool about this film that I think is unique to our generation and at least any generation that still had a video store, because there was always back pocket movies that I would recommend to people, right? Like we all have those like, oh, Left of the Dial picks that no one really knows about. And anyone asks you, what's a recommendation you have? This was always at the top of my list. There was like two movies I'd always throw out there. It'd be like this and The Changeling. And of course, The Changeling became as, you know, ubiquitous now with streaming. I don't think that's the case for this movie. I mean, I still had to rent it. I remember it being on Shudder a couple of times. So I watched it on Shudder a bunch when it was on. I think it was like last October or maybe the October beforehand. But still, this feels like a cult classic still. And it's rare. Yeah. I mean, we talk about that on Phantasm in the last rental, but like I think I appreciate it even more for that, because I don't think a lot of people still haven't seen this film. I mean, and that's, for me, that's a unique position in an era where everything's been written to death, everything's been overrated and then underrated and then overrated again. I feel like this is kind of in that same level as it was in 2001, and hey, I got to respect it for that.
No, totally. And, you know, let's actually get into some of this right now, because I think it makes sense to talk about it here. I wonder if part of both its enduring quality, but also the fact that it's a cult classic, but I wouldn't say it's a cult classic in the same way. Well, something like Phantasm is at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's, like you said, it's still somewhat of a hidden gem. And I think that is because of this weird sweet spot it got caught up in the horror landscape. Because leading right up to it, we're in like Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, the kind of teen slasher era, which this movie is obviously not, and actually affected the marketing and the box office performance, which we'll talk about later. And then right after this, we get into the Platinum Dunes era, the kind of, I think what people more closely identify with aughts horror, the, you know, Texas Chainsaw remakes, the really grisly, violent, chic kind of Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer era. And it's definitely not that either. So it weirdly to me kind of predicts A24 prestige horror without actually trying to do that. Like, it's not, I've read a lot of interviews with the creators, and I don't think they had any kind of agenda like that. I think they were just trying to make the best horror movie they could. But I was trying to think of another comparison from this time period. The closest I could get was like The Descent, but The Descent got pretty big shortly after it came out on DVD in a way that Session 9 didn't. I was really trying to think of another comparison there. So yeah, Mac.
It kind of, even though it's not like a period piece by any means, but it's kind of got like pre like Annabelle Conjuring vibes. Like, and now granted, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Conjuring universe and stuff like that, but I do feel like it has, there could have been like that, it could have gone there, right? If there was like a creature element to it, or Mary Hobbs shows up or something, or you know what I mean? Like, they don't go there, and I think that's the restraint that makes it kind of singular. But I do feel like this is a movie that you could recommend now amongst all those other kinds of films that are coming out. And yeah, to Mike's point, I'm surprised. You're just looking for this. It was hard to find. There, you know, there haven't been, you know, we follow a lot of merchandise and stuff, and it's just like, there's no t-shirts. There's no, it's just like, and some of the weirdest, worst films would get all these t-shirts and all this shit, you know what I mean? And this movie, which I think is actually quite freaky and like creepy, is just kind of been forgotten a little bit in a way. So it's weird.
Well, you mentioned that this came at, got washed away with something, you know, the era it was in. When you look back at 2001, it's such a transitional year that there is no through line. You know, it's coming at the end of, God, what were those remakes that, like 13 Ghosts and House on the Hill? So,
like Ghost Ship, Below.
Yeah, exactly. Like
those were so bombastic, you know.
And they were bombastic. They were in vogue. And then you had like developmental hell, back burner shit. Like you had parody stuff like Scary Movie 2. But then you would have like these weird things pepper up. You know, like the things that were surefire genre films, like the Jason X comes out that year. Not very, you know, people, it's very split. I like it, but it was, you know, it was kind of came and went and really shoved a dagger into the franchise even more so until Freddy vs. Jason came out a couple years later. But, you know, you get like weird movies that just pop up that don't really seem to be in flow with anything in this year. So you get like, this is the year of Mulholland Drive. This is, you know, which is part of this. I always said that David Lynch's return to form with Mulholland Drive and how it sort of came at the same time as Memento and, you know, Requiem for a Dream and just that whole run of indie, like the new indie auteurs that came
and
out.
Pretty serious, too.
And like those serious.
They don't have, I mean, there's a lot of great horror movies coming out today, obviously, but I feel like there is this pressure for horror movies to have somewhat of a sense of humor a little bit.
Yes.
And these movies didn't, which I like.
Yeah. I almost miss it. And then to that note, though, you get like something like From Hell, which is a very serious movie. It's the adaptation by the Hughes brothers of the graphic novel. I've never read the graphic novel, but I remember liking it.
I actually like the movie.
I didn't mind it, yeah.
But the graphic novel just is so much more epic in scope, you know, so I understand why people dislike it. But I think the movie works well. It's just a straight horror movie.
But you get then, you know, like, I mean, it's all over the place because The Others comes out that year, a very prestigious film.